joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Check out his work at theathleticwisconsin.com on the Bucks beat over there. It's a pleasure to welcome in every Tuesday around this time on the Wendy's Big Show, Eric Name. Eric, how are you this afternoon, man?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're doing well. We're having fun talking comic books here on a sports talk radio show. But you never know what's going to happen on the Wendy's Big Show. We're mixing in some sports, too, and some Bucks talk. We were talking before the break about the impact of Jimmy Butler to the Eastern Conference, to the Philadelphia 76ers, and the impact that it has on the Eastern Conference, and obviously the Bucks included in that. What do you think it does to the balance of power in the East, Eric?
I'm not sure it does much. I'm trying to figure out how that's all going to work, because last time I checked, basketball still played with one basketball. Maybe they changed the rules, but as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I just feel like that is a combustible situation in Philadelphia, because as you think about Jimmy Butler and his last two stops on his NBA trip, him and young guys, future stars, the guys that are going to lead the franchise going forward, he doesn't tend to get along with those guys too well. He doesn't tend to think that it's their team. He tends to think it's his team. And I'm very curious how that goes when he tells Joel Embiid that the 76ers are his team. Because I don't know if it goes that well. And then on top of that, you have Ben Simmons. It's just, to me, a really interesting move, because you're really throwing future versus present into a mixer as you try to figure out what's going on with your basketball team. And your basketball team was kind of struggling with shooting and finding chemistry and finding all those things. And I mean, I don't necessarily believe that Jimmy Butler's the guy to help you figure out a chemistry problem.
Okay, but this is the thing with Jimmy Butler. They don't have a guy, at least I don't think, that can do some of the stuff that Jimmy Butler can do as far as being a slasher, creating his own shot, hitting his own shot. Ben Simmons struggles shooting the basketball, as we all know. I think for me, it's going to be simply whether or not he's going to be able to, as you talked about, fit in from a chemistry perspective, because I don't think Ben Simmons can possibly think to himself that he should have more shots than Jimmy Butler. I can't imagine Markelle Fultz thinks he should have more shots than Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, upon walking into that locker room, is either 1A or 1B with Joel Embiid. So I think that is determined. I think some of the issue in Minnesota was those two young kids there with Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns were already predetermined as those guys in that locker room with that team going forward. And I think maybe feelings got hurt and so forth when Jimmy Butler came in and decided it was his locker room.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would totally agree with you that, you know, Ben Simmons, I don't know if he's going to have a huge problem with it. He's a quiet guy. He's more than happy to dish out 7-8 assists a night. And I mean, I think the big question is, you know, how does Joel get along with Jimmy Butler? Because to me, that you've watched Embiid put up, I don't even know what it is, like 28 points a night, 13 rebounds, get a whole bunch of shots. Like, how does that all work? And there's no doubt about Jimmy Butler's talent. To me, it's always just that he's a top 10, top 15 guy in the NBA, no doubt. But, you know, when he gets with other players, he tends to try to let everyone know that it is his team and that he is in charge. So I think that's the big question. And then overall, you know, just do they have enough shooting?
Because that's the issue.
Jimmy Butler really is not a – and for all the talent that he does have and all the ability he does have as a scorer, he scores with the ball in his hands. And when you look at Joel Embiid, he scores with the ball in his hands. And when you look at Ben Simmons, he scores and play makes with the ball in his hands. All those guys aren't really going to be a huge threat off ball. And to me, how you put together an offense, the Sixers were awesome last year when they signed Ersan Ilyasova and they signed Marco Bellinelli. It opened up the floor for Simmons and Embiid, and everything started to work. Well, Jimmy Butler kind of shrinks that. And I think there's a chance that it is a lights-out move that makes the Sixers the best team in the East, no questions about it. And I also think there's a chance that it just totally blows up in their face. I think it's just a really combustible situation, and it's a combustible situation because you are adding someone as talented as Jimmy Butler, but you're also adding someone who likes the ball as much as Jimmy Butler and someone who likes Jimmy Butler as much as Jimmy Butler likes Jimmy Butler.
Well, the Houston Rockets are ready to give away Melo. How would he fit with the Milwaukee?
And I think that goes for just about any NBA team. That's not just
he helped the Bucks get to a championship game, Eric.
I don't think so. at this point, The thing with Melo is, you know, everyone says, like, the defense is a problem. And obviously, the defense is a problem. He doesn't play any. But on top of that, like, he's not even an efficient scorer anymore. Like, so not only are you dealing with the defense from Melo, like, you're not even getting the cool offensive stuff that he used to do. So, like, it's just a losing proposition for any team. I hope there is a team out there that's middling and wants to give him a bunch of shots and it works out and he's able to enjoy the twilight of his career. But as far as playing on contenders anymore, like, that's just not going to work.
Yeah, you often hear the term addition by subtraction. I think adding Carmelo Anthony at this point is subtraction by addition. I've never heard it used that way, but that's how I would see it. I was at the Athletic Wisconsin this morning checking out the Bucks portion of the website, and there was an article, not by you, but by one of your colleagues. I believe it was Chris Thompson who wrote it, essentially making the case that the NBA and sort of led by the Bucks are catching up to and figuring out the Golden State Warriors as more and more teams adopt their style of play. Do you think the gap has closed significantly between the Warriors and the rest of the league, Eric?
Depends how the Warriors feel about that question. Because if the Warriors want the gap to close and they want to be petty like they were last night as Draymond Green and Kevin Durant were fighting over who should have the ball late and they have injuries and all those things, I think the gap has closed. If, you know, they're the unselfish Warriors that we've seen in the past that, you know, like when you look at a team like the Sixers, when you look at a team like the Boston Celtics, they've had these massive questions about chemistry the entire season. Well, you know, the Warriors had those and got through them. And everyone figured out, like, okay, we have two of the five best players in the league, adding Klay Thompson, three of the top 20, adding Draymond Green, four of the top 30. Okay, look at this. Yep, everything's fine. It doesn't matter. We'll figure out the shots. And they've largely not had problems with that. And now all of a sudden, some of that disease of me stuff is kind of starting to pop up. Like, who's getting enough shots? How's it all working? So, to me, I mean, I think that team is just so strong offensively and defensively. And their ceiling is just not a – it's no teams can't get close to their ceiling. But if they – themselves bring that ceiling down, then maybe the gap can close. But no, I don't truly believe that the gap has closed all that much with the Warriors. They'll struggle a little bit right now, but it's just the regular season. I think they get that all worked out by the postseason.
I hope Durant and Draymond Green fight each other for real. I'll pay to watch that. So
they were close last night.
Yeah, they were.
From what I hear, it spilled over into the locker room.
It did.
Word is coming out today.
Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah. So, and I mean, Draymond is one of those guys. We talked about combustible with Jimmy Butler. Draymond can get it going, and Durant doesn't tend to back down. So powerful personalities in that locker room.
Let's talk about this Bucks team. I have a new favorite player. I didn't realize Brooke Lopez was a huge Disney fan, so he's now my new favorite player. having said that, are you buying how good he is from outside? I mean, my goodness gracious, I don't think anybody saw this coming, and he's making himself a lot of money right now if he can continue to hit these threes throughout the
year. And a second part to that question, Eric, did you give him the nickname Splash Mountain? I heard it started with you.
I wish I gave it to him. No, I had a couple Twitter users say that it was starting to make its rounds on maybe like Bucks Reddit or maybe just on Bucks Twitter in general. So I kind of like...
Hold on. You guys kind of confuse me.
With what?
Did you have a question first, Steve?
I already did. And then he added on to it.
And then I added on to it.
Did I miss it?
It was a tag team question.
Sorry, Gary.
No, I'm happy to answer both questions. I did not think of it. I did push it out to the masses, though.
Okay.
And then I also saw that John Henson started using it. We asked John Henson about today. He's more than happy about it. And Brooke Lopez says that he is a big Disney nerd, as Sparky mentioned. So it seems that he's pretty okay with it. As far as whether or not he will keep doing it, man, it's tough to say because at the moment he's shooting just under 42% from three. And when we talk to him about goals and kind of how he feels about shooting threes and where his head is at, you know, the last 2 years he started to shoot more threes. He's added, you know, five threes per game each of the last 2 years. So that's something he started to do, but it was like 34-35%. It was solid enough, like it's big enough to, you know, have him be a threat, but you know, maybe not enough to be an elite shooter. He's shooting 42% now, so I mean that would be a career best. That would be better than he's ever shot it before. So I would say he's going to cool off a little bit, but I'm not quite sure he's ever been in a situation where a coach has so I mean, so strongly supported him doing it. You think back to, I think it was, what, the Kings game the other week when he was 1-5 to start the game. I think the Sixers game, he was 0-4 to start the game. And he said that, you know, at halftime of those games, Budenholzer went right up to him and said, you got to keep shooting. Like, you can't pass up looks. You will shoot threes. That's how we're going to find success. And, I mean, if you're a player, just thinking about that from your psyche, that, you know, even in a half where you're terrible, you don't make a shot, your coach is like, you're shooting it, man. And I mean, maybe that is worth 5% from behind the three-point line. I'm not quite sure that I'm buying all the way into him being a dead-eye shooter quite yet, but he said going into this year his goal was 40% from the three-point line, and right now he's at 42.
That's Eric Name. Find his work at theathleticwisconsin.com. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name and catch him every Tuesday right here on the Wendy's Big Show at 3:48. Eric, always appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
And he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.